Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
See why I piqued my interest a little bit during Hot or Not, and I looked up Leonardo DiCaprio. The issue is not only is he was he spotted canoodling with a 19-year-old model, he apparently is going out with Victoria Lamas, who is the daughter of Lorenzo Lamas. Remember that hunky heartthrob guy?
Oh, yeah.
So this is the issue, that he may... He's in a relationship with Victoria, and maybe he was hanging out with Eden.
Come on, creepy Wall Street, Wolf of Wall Street guy. Cut it out.
He ain't apologizing to you.
No, he ain't to anybody.
No. Say what you need to, my friend. Say what you need to. Okay, so busy weekend. Big win for the Longhorns men and women. We'll get back into it. Also, the game tonight at Kansas. Longhorns pull off the first game in Kansas. What a comeback they had. What a second half they played. Also, obviously, talking about the Mavericks and their big trade for Kyrie Irving. One of those like it or spike it's, you know, back in the day at the radio station, use a little top 40 radio, they'd say like it or spike it. Do you like this or hate it? Ty is on board as a Mavericks fan for trying something because the roster had grown stale, the team had grown stale, and at least they're going for it. And you know, sometimes you got to do things to make your star happy. I mean, Luka Doncic is growing more and more frustrated, and you know, I assume he wakes up this morning feeling like, okay, they're at least trying here. We're doing something here. Kyrie Irving's one of the best players in this league. Yes, he's
well liked by the players, though. It's more of the media and, you know,
the organization.
Well, he did not treat the Nets very well.
Well, LeBron, they had their odds in Cleveland, but LeBron wanted him back. He wanted to come to L.A. to play for the Lakers.
That's right.
So it's about talent, and he can play. But that's the problem. He's been talented for a long time, but he's an idiot sometimes, right? He's a selfish player. That's the number one thing I could say. He puts himself ahead of the team all the time, which is why if I were a player, I wouldn't. I mean, you want to be on a team that a guy is playing for you and with you, not, you know, for himself, and you know, making hit decisions that are best for him and only him. That's how he's been. You know, in Boston, he couldn't get along with Brad Stevens, and that thing didn't last. He couldn't get along with LeBron in Cleveland. I mean, if he could have stayed in Cleveland, they could have won more championships.
Sure.
But he forced his way out of there, and then obviously we know this with Kevin Durant was it never felt like he was going to work or make sense in Brooklyn, and we know
it's either going to work or it's not going to work, and they're going to find out really quickly. So Kyrie, it's not like it's a long term thing; you find out about him pretty quickly.
Well, they got 3 months now. They got right. It's February, so they got March and April into the playoffs, and if it works, I guess they'll explore a contract in the offseason. But as we said, Mark Stein of the NBA Insider says, according to his sources with the Mavericks, they're not talking anything about long-term until they see how this works out, and they're going to try it. So you get a trial balloon. You get to see how it goes and then go from there. We'll follow it. It'll at least make the Mavericks interesting. I think it's an interesting move. I don't know if it's a good or a bad move, but I think if you're a Mavs fan, you're kind of like, okay, let's see. Let's see how this goes. And, you know, two great offensive players together. And it's still some pretty good players there. But I think giving up Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith, those are two starters. And I still don't get this whole, they gave up a first-round draft pick. I kept seeing that yesterday. And then I read about it this morning. That's a first-round draft pick in 2029. How many girlfriends will Leonardo DiCaprio be through before he gets to 2029?
I mean, he'll be dating 15-year-olders by then.
6 years from now, we're going to look up and say, hey, the Brooklyn Nets own the Mavericks first-round draft pick this year.
Gosh.
That's how far in advance that draft pick is. But either way, that went down yesterday. We'll also be watching LeBron James this week. He's going to break Kareem's all-time scoring mark, which is pretty remarkable, even though his team's not going anywhere. And as we said, the next big conversation will be about Kevin Durant. If they've traded Kyrie Irving after he demanded it, would they move Kevin Durant, even though he's injured right now? Some wonder if that's coming down the pike in the next couple of weeks.
It's time for Durant to stick and make that his team now.
Several people have pointed out that when you're dating a younger person, it's half your age plus seven is the rule of thumb. So whatever is half your age plus seven. So for me, that would be 32 because I'm 50. So 25 plus seven, 32. Is that about right?
There you go.
So you're 68.
Just might as well say 68 in June.
So that's 34.
Oh.
You're 40. 41 is your limit. Term limit.
That sounds about wrong.
Half your age plus seven. So, but that doesn't apply to Ty because he's only 25. Ty is not old enough to play that game.
Can't play that game yet.
Yeah.
He would have to be
good. That'd be 19.
No. Well, yeah.
One of my roommates, he's a year older than me, and he's dating a 20-year-old.
How's that going?
They got a lot of
she was, the intern at the office.
Hey now.
Yeah.
Hey now. Well, you know. Or you could go cougar hunting, Ty. You could go older. You know, you could be looking for that older lady.
Well, I got a girlfriend.
I know you.
Good job. Good job. There you go.
I'm a loyal man.
Remember where all the cougars went back in the day? Cool River? Remember Cool River? They called it Cougar River.
I still need to watch Cougar Manor.
Or whatever. MILF Manor.
Come on, man. Copper's Cove Cougars.
Get up in there. Yeah, because back in the day, there was Tangerines, and then there was Cool River.
You know, I've been in the Cool River once.
We did radio shows at Cool River. Cool River's a pretty
cool
place.
Yeah, I think we did do a show there.
Turned in.
What's the Cool River?
It was a
really
nice restaurant
and bar.
That's
still going on? That's not going on, is it?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But someone will tell us where the new Cool River is, where the Cougars hang out.
People used to actually go out and dance with each other.
I don't know.
The Westlake HEB?
Oh, hey now. Yoga pants. Let's go to the headlines. We'll get to your Blitz and Salacious Gossip before the end of the hour. Craig Way has his report coming up this hour, and we're talking good, bad, and ugly from the busy weekend. Let's get you caught up. Top Gun Equipment Rentals bring you the news, and we'll start with that mega trade in Dallas. Word yesterday, the Mavericks have outbid the Lakers and the Suns to acquire Kyrie Irving from Brooklyn. They are sending starter Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, and multiple draft picks to the Nets to make it happen. It'll be finalized today, and as I said, Mark Stein, the NBA insider, says the Mavs have not promised the free agent to be this summer a new contract. If he stays in Dallas, he's going to play this thing out, see how it goes. In basketball, on the college side, how about the Longhorns? First leg of that two-game road trip into the state of Kansas. A tale of two halves for the Longhorns on Saturday, but a victorious tale as Rodney Terry's 10th-ranked Horns shook off a poor first half and rallied for an impressive win at K-State, 69-66. Win over the 8th-ranked team in the country. A win avenges an earlier home loss to the Wildcats, and it secures their spot atop the Big 12 standings at 8-2. The first 20 minutes, rough for Texas. They made just 7 of 23 shots, got a lot of good looks and missed them. Also turned the ball over a bunch. They're down 11 at the intermission, but as the Horns have done throughout this season, they regrouped, didn't panic, and surged in the second half. Went on a 19-9 run early in the half to cut the deficit. Then down the stretch with Christian Bishop and Jabari Rice making really clutch plays to seal the deal. Bishop had all 14 of his points in the second half, grabbed 6 rebounds, had 2 block shots and 2 steals, the second of which was a game-clinching steal with 13 seconds to go. Sir Jabari Rice added 14 points and 10 rebounds and nailed 8 of 9 free throws down the stretch for head coach Rodney Terry.
We turned the ball over too many times in the first half as well. I mean, we had 11 turnovers. We watched all our turnovers. I mean, a lot of those were on us. In terms of just, trying to make tough plays when we shouldn't have. Just make the simple play and make the easy play and play. And they got a chance to see those. We also saw the second chance opportunities with the rebounds. So I thought we cleaned all that up. We really came out in the second half and sat down and guarded. And then we worked the offense. We didn't turn the ball over. We didn't try to make home run plays. We made simple base hits.
Base hits for the Longhorns. Can they get some more tonight? They're playing at Kansas to wrap up that two-game swing over 3 days. Big Monday hoops, 8 o'clock tip, 7:30 pregame here on the Horn. Texas 2 games up on Kansas now in the standings, 6-4. The Jayhawks, Texas 8-2. Iowa State's alone in second place at 7-3. Texas women also in first place in the Big 12. They beat Kansas at Kansas on Saturday, 68-65. Deanna Gaston led the Horns with 24. Sonya Morris added 14. Horns 9-2 in the Big 12. They'll host Texas Tech on Wednesday. Also on Saturday, Texas baseball hosted their annual Fan Fest and alumni game at Dish Falk Field. Beautiful day. Watch the Longhorns, the current team, play to a 4-4 tie with the alumni. 2 weeks from now, the Longhorns will open their 2023 season in Arlington. It's the College Baseball Showdown at Globe Life Field. Horns will face Arkansas, Missouri, and Vanderbilt over those 3 days. College football coaching news. Busy weekend at Alabama. Nick Saban, first on Friday, hires Notre Dame's Tommy Reese to be the offensive coordinator to replace Bill O'Brien. Looks like today he's going to hire Kevin Steele to be the defensive coordinator, lure him away from Miami.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Start 2023 off right and save money on last year's Steele, Toro, and Hustler equipment still in stock this month at Top Gun. TopGun.net will shoot you straight.
They certainly will.
And, yeah, Fog Allen will be on fire tonight.
Yeah, because Kansas played a poor game Saturday. Oh, I mean, they got whipped by Iowa State. And, look, I mean, I think Jalen Wilson maybe is the player of the year in the conference. I mean, he's a great player. He's 6'8", swingman, can really fill it up and can really play. But what has – as Kansas has evolved –
No,
of course,
guard play.
Well, they just – they don't have any – they don't really have a second scorer that's been consistent. Now, the Longhorns, seems like it's a different guy every game, and this guy, Jabari Rice, just continues to be the one consistent force for them. You know, Rice is consistent. Even in the loss at Tennessee last Saturday, he was the leading scorer with 21 points. Jabari Rice has really become their most consistent guard. Tyrese Hunter continues his, you know, erratic and slumping play. Marcus Carr has been kind of up and down. He was great. Now he's hit a little bit of a scoring lull. Mm-hmm. Timmy Allen only had 10 points on Saturday. But, man, this was about Bishop and Rice. And Christian Bishop, I mean, I think we know what we have come to expect from Serge Jabari Rice, just making smart basketball plays, making all his free throws, making big shots under control. But Christian Bishop, Buck, all 14 points in that second half, he just determined to go to the rack. And his teammates noticed it, and they kept getting the ball. That's what you love seeing. Like, hey, he's on a heater now. Let's get him the ball. They can't cover him. He's got that look in his eye. And
maybe I need to talk to him about them threes.
I don't need – Christian Bishop did shoot a three. But I thought that was a big moment when Jabari Rice got the rebound and then got fouled, went to the foul line. I don't need Christian Bishop shooting threes.
I don't need him shooting threes either. I cringe.
Hey,
when
Brock listened to us, though. He's been shooting more.
He has been shooting those threes.
And he's
keep
making
it up.
Them. He's making them. Well, that's what we talk about with Texas. We talked about – I went to the Gonzaga game, came in here and talked about, man, their depth – because Gonzaga goes five deep, right? They don't – maybe a sixth man. Texas is all of a sudden – when you're bringing – I mean, Jabari Rice, Christian Bishop, Brock Cunningham, they're all off the bench. I mean, those are your leading scorers in this game and biggest reasons why they won, but they don't start. And so it's almost like Texas has eight starters, and they just wrote who's hot, leave them in there. And Dylan Dessou, I think, has played better of late, which, you know, with he and Christian Bishop, that gives you good effort in the post.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't say enough. I think Jabari Rice right now on February the 5th or 6th would be your MVP of this team in Big 12 play. He's just been a rock for them, and he doesn't start, but boy, he comes off that bench.
Boy, he's a rebounder, too.
At 10 boards.
Yeah, he gets involved.
He's just such a smart player. When the ball's in his hands, you feel like, okay, he's going to make a good, whether it's a pass or a shot or a go to the line. And that's the thing you love about him more than even Rice Tyrese Hunter or Marcus Carr is he gets the line. I mean, this is good, two games in a row where really Carr and Hunter have not been aggressive and gotten to the foul line. Every game, seems like Jabari Rice is shooting 8 or 9 foul shots, which that's how you get to 21 points, right? Because he only had 14 in this game, but make a couple threes, get to the foul line 8 times, make them, hit a couple layups,
right.
And all of a sudden you're at 20 points, and that's what he's been. I would say this. There was one moment in that second half when Tyrese Hunter went down the lane and showed his quickness and got to the rack and finished with a layup. I need more of that from him. I know he's been shooting up the threes, and he's just in a slump. He needs to go to the basket. I would love to see Tyrese Hunter going and attacking Kansas mm-hmm. tonight. Because the shot's just not there, and he needs to start getting himself to the foul line, and maybe that's where he starts seeing his shots go in, and he can find some confidence. Because I think we would all say this, if Texas gets Tyrese Hunter going with Rice and Carr and the rest we're talking about, they're going to be really hard to beat. They can
Absolutely.
Make a really deep run. And the other thing you love is that the second half adjustments that Rodney Terry is making, Buck, at the coaching level, they don't panic.
No, there's something that goes on in there at halftime.
Remember, they were down 18 to TCU at half, won that game. They were down 11 in this one. And I thought going to the half that the fact that Sir Jabari Rice did his jump pump fake, got himself fouled, made all three free throws
yep.
going right into the locker room. So instead of down 14, you were down 11. And they came out with that momentum. And the other thing you love about Rodney Terry, which a lot of people are starting to take notice of this, against Baylor and in this game, they have owned the first 4 minutes of the second half. I mean, they really owned Baylor coming out of the intermission and took control of that game. They did the same thing here. And that is a sign of a well-coached team that are understanding their mistakes from one half, adjustments being made, and they're taking it to the floor. That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive against a couple of top 15 teams.
They're doing a fantastic job at halftime.
It says don't discount Hunter's D. No, I think Hunter – look, they need Hunter to start making some shots. I just think he needs to go to the basket, make some buckets, copy your buddy Jabari Rice and start going to the foul line a little bit. See if you can find some confidence there. All right, on the Cougar discussion, not the BYU or the Houston Cougars, two teams the Longhorns play this year. Did you see the new schedule that came out last week, Buck? You were taking some time. How about the new schedule for the Longhorns? BYU here, Houston on the road, going down to their – it's going to be an on-campus game at Houston, not NRG Stadium. No. They're going 40,000 Cougar fans. So both Cougars joining the Longhorns. But as for places to find Cougars, according to our listeners, Steiner Ranch – Steakhouse. Thursday through the weekend. That's where the Cougars
out on
hang
the terrace.
Out. Yeah. It says, used to be Sam's Boat. A lot of Cougars
Sam's Boat. My gosh.
It says, I used to valet park at Cougar River, Cool River on Thursdays and Fridays. And yes, ton of Cougars running wild through there. See, Ty, that's what you need to do. You need to start working valet parking at the Cougar Den. You have a girlfriend, though. We can't do that.
That's right. You can't do that.
I can still flirt for tips.
No, there you go.
I can flirt for tips. Ask her that. See how that goes with her. See if it's okay.
I'll report back.
Yeah, report back. Yeah.
So by the way, speaking of Texas and their new football schedule this year, I did retweet an article I read over the weekend. It was actually sent to me by a good friend of mine who's super in the know in the Big 12 situation. He said, this is really well done and lays out what's going on with the Big 12. We know the report surfaced on Friday that the talks have stalled. Texas and Oklahoma leaving after this season in 2024 to be in the SEC, and that the reports that it stalled. Now, the article is titled appropriately. Let me see if make sure I get this so we get this correct. But because I retweeted it, we've already had some good thoughts on it from folks on that have seen it. But it says Ross Dellinger, who by the way is going to join us on the show tomorrow. I don't have an official time, but he's going to jump on with us. The headline is the Big 12 is ready for Texas and Oklahoma to leave. So why is it taking so long? And that, I mean, it's a long story, but it really revolves around Fox TV and the contract that Fox has with the Big 12. Because of course, right now, the Big 12 has partners with ESPN and Fox, and they share the rights. And so the granting of rights becomes a big challenge. Most assume that they'll work something out, that there will be a number, a payment from ESPN. But this article goes into great depth about, you know, they've talked about sharing some games, just trying to find a creative way to make Fox whole. And at this point, they haven't been able to get it done. There's one quote in this story that says, according to one administrator with a long history in the Big 12s, it all boils down to financials. If the league teams remain whole from what they would be receiving in penalties, I don't think there's an opposition to them leaving. If the media rights change, they lose money, why would they let them leave, he says. And the last line of the article says, we sold our souls to the devil, one athletic director says, but we love the paycheck. So essentially they're beholden to TV. And it goes through. I mean,
the longer you can keep them, the more money they'll make.
Well, I mean, it goes through, and it's pretty clear that the rest of the Big 12 teams, the eight remaining and then the four new, are they want Texas out. I mean, they're ready to move on. All parties are ready to be done. And obviously, there's a contract. So I said on Friday that maybe Fox was being stubborn. Someone texted and said, hey, they're not being stubborn. They have a contract, which is true. They have a contract through 2025. They're going to lose money when Texas goes to the SEC and ESPN.
And they want them in as long as they can keep them in, right, so they can win, have money.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Both of them.
Right. And because as soon as Texas and Oklahoma leave, Fox loses the rights. And we know everything that's going on is all driven by Fox and ESPN. I mean, the ESPN move to bring Texas and Oklahoma to the Southeastern Conference was followed up by the Big Ten going after USC and UCLA to answer that. And that's all Fox. That's Fox meets and versus ESPN. So the two TV parties are trying to work out something that works for everybody. Because let's be fair, 2024, that's when the SEC's new TV deal with ESPN kicks in. That's when the 12-team playoff comes online. That's when USC and UCLA are going to the Big Ten. I mean, 2024 is really when everything lines up.
God, what a basketball conference this is going to be.
And Texas and Oklahoma would, and I think even the SEC, right? They want Texas. But again, there's tortious interference issues. Greg Sankey, others can't say a lot. Sure, they'd love to have Texas. What I was told, though, after this article that I retweeted, Ross Dellinger, even he says, and I was told that they still think it's going to get done for 2024. They're just not sure how. And right now, the reports that came down Friday were pretty adamant that, no, this thing is stalled and it's not going to happen. But there isn't a deadline. I mean, they can get this thing. They're going to keep working. It sounds like a game of chicken and who's going to blink. I mean, and Fox is going to play hardball. They want the money, so that they're going to lose with Texas and Oklahoma leaving, and they may want a little more than that. Because we have a contract. So that's
Boy, with the Cougars in this conference in basketball in Cincinnati.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be fun. This year will be fun. I think a lot of people are excited about this year's schedule for Texas. And, you know, the fact they don't play Oklahoma State, no Gundy. We kind of teased that for you before you took your time. Gundy not on the schedule. And West Virginia not on the schedule for Texas in football. But you're right. This is an all-sports move. So, you know, at least for this year in 2020.
Well, I did think Gundy was out.
Yeah, they're not going to go. No more. You don't get to play Mike Gundy one more time. The man, he's 40.
I love it when it's a big game on TV.
Been, and that by the schedule, that would have been here. Because Texas was in Stillwater. That was probably the most disappointing loss of this past season, that loss in Stillwater. But That's not going to happen. They're going to go to Houston instead and then host BYU. Cougars. And Cougars this year for Texas.
BYU?
BYU. And the boy on a bicycle is out of, that's be Taysom Hill. He is out of eligibility. He can't play.
Are we sure?
Are we sure? Because he ran all over to Texas Longhorns a couple times.
Getting those extra years in.
Well, and think about this for Taysom Hill. You know, we saw him play, and we're like, gosh, this guy's really good. He's gone on to be one hell of an NFL player.
Yes, he has. Well, I mean, he's a great athlete.
He's a great athlete. And I think, you know, he's shown that, okay, you know, we weren't just getting run over by a scrub. We were getting run over by a really good player. And this dude is.
And did he run over him?
Also over the weekend, we all need your thoughts on the Mavericks trade, the Longhorn basketball win, and we know Mike McCarthy is play caller this year for the Cowboys, but they have hired Brian Schottenheimer. Talk about the retread of retreads. Brian Schottenheimer's been an offensive coordinator at several spots, and I don't think ever been very good. But in this spot, he's not going to be calling plays. That's going to fall on Mike McCarthy. Big Mac in charge of the offense for the Cowboys. Here we go.
They had Kellen Moore back.
Well, he jumped. Now, remember, we told you why he left. He left because the owner, Jerry and Steven, said, look, Mike McCarthy's calling plays this year. You can stay. We want you to stay and be a part of the staff. And he said, no, I'm not doing that. If I'm going to go call plays. And, of course, within 12 hours, the Chargers had already brought him in to rev up their offense and call plays for Justin Herbert, which I think if you're Kellen Moore, you're feeling okay.
Kellen Moore's going, really? For that guy right there? He's going to call the plays?
I get to trade Dak for Justin Herbert and try to get the most out of that dude. It's safe to say Justin Herbert's talent and ceiling is a lot higher than Dak's.
Yes.
There's a lot that he can do that Dak cannot do simply. And he's been record-setting in his first couple years in this league. And, you know, the Chargers just need to stay healthy and take that next step. Brandon Staley, the head coach there, is kind of in hot water.
Yeah, the only problem with him is he can't throw to himself. Because those guys just keep getting hurt every year as receivers. And a lot of them get hurt before the season even starts.
Well, that's going to be an interesting team to watch this offseason because, you know, because they had Justin Herbert on a rookie contract, they went all in. They made the Khalil Mack trade. They were heavy in free agency. So their salary cap situation isn't great. They're going to have to lose some people here. But they believe with a young quarterback. I mean, think about this. This is why the Chargers made the change. In that game against Jacksonville where they were up, what, 27-0 or 28-0, whatever the score was, and they lost that football game. In the second half, with that lead, they ran the ball, handed it to a running back seven times. And they have Austin Ekeler, who's a pretty damn good player.
Yes.
Well, Kellen Moore's not going to fix that problem.
Well, that's the rub. That's the rub. I mean, you can't be up three scores with Austin Ekeler and not run the football at all and then lose that game. You're going to get fired. And that was what Joe Lombardi got whacked and the quarterback coach got whacked. But Kellen Moore is in. Brian Schottenheimer is in for your Dallas Cowboys. And Mike McCarthy. In Big Mac, we trust, but that's the deal.
Well, yeah, that's because, and that's the last go around. He's not going to be the coach here if they don't get to the playoffs and win more than a game. He's going to be gone, and so they're going to wipe all those new guys that just moved again. You know the guys, Skip Pete who left. You know the guy who took his spot. Guess what will happen next year if they don't win? Bye, all of y'all. All over again.
Have they hired another running back coach yet?
No, I think Schottenheimer will be active in this with Mike McCarthy.
Oh, yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if they went after Tashard Choice.
Keep an eye on that. You know, he's done a great job in his 1 year at Texas and recruited Cedric Baxter Jr., the number one running back in the nation out of Orlando, Florida. But, yeah, he's a former Cowboy himself. And so, yeah, keep an eye on that. I haven't heard that anywhere except for what Ty just said, but, you know, he does have Cowboys ties, and he's done a nice job at Georgia Tech and here.
Yeah, but he'll also know he's smart enough to know the deal too. If they don't get it done, they'll all be gone.
But he's one of Jerry's guys.
Jerry.
We're done with the Jerry's guys. Zeke's gone this year, okay? That whole Jerry's guys, that's done. Say goodbye.
All right. We'll come back. Somebody said that the new OC for Dallas was the OC for Seattle in the Super Bowl and they didn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. That's not true. That was Daryl Bevel, was the offensive coordinator with Pete Carroll, that they didn't hand it. Russell Wilson threw it and threw the pick, and that was Daryl Bevel. But, yeah, Brian Schottenheimer, Marty's kid, replaced Daryl Bevel, and it didn't go great. Offensive lines were bad. Russell Wilson was
Well, nothing's ever gone real fantastic where he's been.
Well, again, at least in Dallas, he's not calling plays. That's Mike McCarthy, and that's either going to be a great thing or not so great.
And Sean Payton said, you know what he said? I know this thing was going to go straight downhill with Mike McCarthy, with him calling plays. But guess what? I don't want that dude to be my boss over there. It's only going to be one way, and it's going to be his way. And Sean Payton was like, I got to get out. I'm not waiting around for another year for that. So he took that Denver gig.
Absolutely. We'll come back when we do. More on these top stories. Big trade in the NBA. Big basketball for the Longhorns, men and women. Also, Craig Way has his report coming up. Salacious gossip and your blitz, all part of a busy Monday here on B&E.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
Appreciate the text on the Specs text line. A lot of contributions. Good to be back up and running with the internet and the heat. All of our streams and everything that we were lacking last week, but appreciate people being patient through that. Good to hear from you again. This says, guys, I read somewhere this weekend that Brian Schottenheimer was the coach that got the most out of Russell Wilson in Seattle, and it was because he coached Russell hard. If that's the case, it's exactly what Dak Prescott needs right now.
Well, I don't know. Being very optimistic. That's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know about getting the most.
You got a lot of things to get done over there in Dallas Cowboy land. You got to find out about your kicker. What's going on? Jerry going to give him a new contract?
See ya.
No, what do you mean, see ya?
Mr. Shank?
Shankopotamus?
Maher? No.
That guy led the league in scoring, didn't he?
I have trust in Maher.
Oh, boy.
Dude, come on,
he was great all year.
And he was one of the top scorers in the NFL.
Yeah, and he also, he did his job when it mattered most in the playoffs.
I say give him a new contract.
I don't want to talk about kickers.
Come on, man.
He did not do his job against the Bucs, but he did his job against San Francisco.
He missed another one. All right. Well, we'll see. It'll be a busy offseason for the Cowboys. They have a lot of work to do. And I said this earlier, but if you missed the show last week, from the Senior Bowl, we played some sound last week from Jerry Jones. I mean, guys, the most frustrating. If you're a fan of the Cowboys,
they must have seen at least three or four running backs that they can get in the fourth or fifth round.
Well, I mean, it starts at the top. It always has. That's why the promise to walk to Dallas has stood as long as it has, because Jerry is still in charge. And as long as he is, he'll make bad decisions. Now, the thing that came of note on Dak Prescott is that Stephen Jones made it clear that, oh, no, Dak's our quarterback. And get ready for an extension for Dak Prescott because of the large salary cap number we talked about with him with
right.
their cap. Dak Prescott is currently costing his team more against the cap than any quarterback in the league, any player in the league. They have to fix that if they're going to go into the offseason and make moves, keep Tony Pollard, what they're doing with Dalton Schultz, all the things they have to do. They're going to have to extend that contract to minimize the cap hit, which means, you know, Dak is your quarterback. So Mike McCarthy's task, along with Brian Schottenheimer, is to find the ceiling of Dak Prescott and get him to – they believe he can take that team to a Super Bowl. I think most people who have seen him now for 6 years don't believe that. But – you know, we'll find out. And Mike McCarthy's back calling plays.
And now without Tom Brady in the picture, now I can see Aaron Rodgers in Vegas, baby.
Yeah, that story percolated because in Vegas, Devontae Adams at the Pro Bowl stuff this weekend said his dream scenario would be to have Aaron Rodgers rejoin him. Of course, Devontae Adams, and he made sweet music in Green Bay for years. And the thought was he was going to go to Oakland or Vegas, and he and Derek Carr, who were college teammates, were going to make sweet music. That didn't last. Because within three games, Josh McDaniel had soured on Derek Carr.
The music got really bad.
Do you think Tampa would be interested in like an Aaron Rodgers, or are they going to just?
I think there's a market. Well, here's the problem with
Derek Carr. How about Derek Carr in Tampa?
Well, the 15th is the day. The 15th is the deadline that if Derek Carr is still on their roster, 15th of this month, and remember the league year and business doesn't open until March 15th, so 1 month later. But if he's on the roster on February 15th. $40 million immediately becomes guaranteed. So they're going to have to move him before that. And, you know, they'll finagle the league and say we've agreed to terms and however that plays out. But so the bidding can begin. But at the same time, there's going to be some teams saying, wait a second, that's the deadline. If they get to the 15th, they're going to cut him. And they haven't made a trade yet. So we're going to lowball the offer, which is why the Raiders have come back with the whole Houston Deshaun Watson thing and said, we will trade. You can talk to teams, Derek, you and your agent. But before you talk to anybody, we have to talk to that team and agree to compensation.
Sure.
Before you even go into the process of moving, we need to talk to them first, make sure we're in agreement on what it's going to take to get you. So I do think there'll be a market. I think Tampa is an interesting name. I think Washington. Any of these teams that are quarterback desperate, Buck. Carolina has been desperate for a quarterback for years. I think Derek Carr has a market because I think.
The Jets have to. They're not so sure either, are they?
Well, I mean, the Jets will want to be in the Aaron Rodgers conversation. But I think whoever doesn't get Aaron Rodgers, the next guy in line will be Derek Carr. And, you know, we've compared him, you know, Dak Prescott, Derek Carr, and Kirk Cousins are all essentially the same player, right? You know what you're getting. There is a ceiling. You know, can they win a Super Bowl becomes the question. They have not yet, and they probably won't. But that's where the teams are. But if you don't have a top 12 quarterback, you'll be interested in Derek Carr because he's a top 12 quarterback. And if you're sitting there with Taylor Heineke or, you know, the retirement of Tom Brady, and now you're stuck with Kyle Trask, I mean, you're going to have to be a great Carolina. What do you got? Nobody? So, you can go through the draft and try to draft a rookie, but at the same time, I think a 31-year-old veteran like Derek Carr, who has shown he can take a team to the playoffs and has been to the Pro Bowl, he just doesn't get along with Josh McDaniel, then I think there will be a market for him. And that, to me, that's what determines your value. Is there a market for you? Then he's a valuable piece. And so I think now the deadline.
Don't leave out the Titans for looking either.
Yeah, no, agreed. I think this is a good thing for the Raiders because there's more teams that need a quarterback than don't. And I think it's Aaron Rodgers first because it sounds like more and more like there's going to be a trade there. And then I think Derek Carr would be that second guy.
Yeah, plus they got to get their running back squared away, do they not?
Where?
Josh Jacobs, don't they have to get him paid in Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, then, I don't know.
New deal.
You say goodbye. Just go ahead and bring Lamar in there.
Lamar Jackson?
Why not?
Mm-hmm. To Vegas?
Why not?
Well,
that run game?
Well, Josh Jacobs is a free agent, so they're going to have to make the Zeke Elliott decision.
Sure.
And remember, before the season, they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, which pretty much told everybody they don't want him.
Yeah, he can't be happy with that, can
right.
he?
Right. Man, they didn't.
He got to be looking at them like, wait a minute.
I mean, that could be good for him in the end. I mean, was he the league's leading rusher this year?
He was.
Yeah,
he was.
I mean, he proved it.
He was, and he was a good player for them. But, I mean, if you're Josh McDaniel, you're just getting this job, and you've already failed once before at Denver, and you've already alienated the quarterback, and now you're not going to re-sign the running back. You made the trade for Devontae Adams, gained big money. I said this to Ty last week. I mean, with Brady's retirement, I thought Vegas was a good spot for him if Tom Brady still wanted to keep playing, but clearly he doesn't. Well, if you're Josh McDaniel, maybe you thought, I'm going to move on from Derek Carr because maybe I can get Tom. Well, now you're not getting Tom.
No.
So I always say this. If you're going to, like we talk about with Dak Prescott, if you're moving on from the player, you better have plan B. You better know where you're going, especially with an owner like Mark Davis who's got a new stadium and they're itchy to win. They just invested a ton of Devontae
Adams. They got the Super Bowl there next year.
Yeah, Super Bowl there is next year. Can we get in line to do that, by the way? Go to that game?
Well, you got to go. It's got to be in line now.
It says Carr to Arizona. Well, I mean, what do you do with Kyler Murray at that point?
Sit him for a year?
I guess. Well, he's going to be out for most of next year.
Yeah, he will
be
out most, yeah. Where he runs around,
by the way,
teeny little steps and stuff, yeah.
He looked like Jerry on Tom and Jerry.
Little teeny little steps. With a bad knee. Can you imagine what those little steps look like now?
Well, we had the story last week that they're having a hard time hiring their coach because no one wants to deal with Kyler Murray. Yeah. The word is out. Because you know any coach interest is going to call Cliff Kingsbury, wherever he's at. You know, Djibouti Where did Cliff go?
He's in Bangkok.
Bangkok, Djibouti,
Thailand.
They're going to call him and say, Cliff, give me the scoop here. What's up with this kid? What am I walking into? Plus, he's injured, so you don't have him there when you're installing your new offense.
They're going to be careful with guys like Brian Flores. I mean, he's got a lawsuit against the NFL and a bunch of teams in the NFL.
Well, SI.com reports that it's the Cardinals have narrowed it to Brian Flores, Mike Kafka, and Lou Anarumo.
That's the guy from Cincy, right?
Yeah.
Don't take one of these gigs. Wait. Just wait it out.
Wait it out. He's an older guy, though, Lou.
Oh, he is?
Hadn't gotten many bites at the apple.
Well, his defense has been playing pretty well over the last 2 years. I'd still wait that one out to get the kind of job I wanted. I mean, that Cardinals job is just, okay, take a job just to say that I'm a head coach. I
56.
Mean,
Lou Anarumo is 56 years old.
He may bite. He may jump.
And, of course, Indianapolis still doesn't have a coach. And there's a lot of partners.
And why is it that nobody wants that? Because of the owner?
Well, because the owner wants to hire everybody in Indianapolis believes he's going to do this real thorough search.
And then hire Jeff Saturday again? Don't even say that.
Yes.
He's not going to do that.
There's a guy I follow, Stephen Holder, who covers the Colts and has for a long time, who believes that's what's going to happen. He's going to be able to say we did
an exhaustive,
thorough search. And
bring in a couple brothers like he's doing something really spectacular and then say, no, y'all. Jeff Saturday's my guy. He's had a year under his belt. He'll be much better. No, he won't. He'll still
get to
suck.
Impress his leadership on all off season.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah, get ready. And then your guy Sam Ellinger is going to be like, get me the heck out of here.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. And did you see, I heard this last week, but I didn't mention it. Sean Payton, several people had said, why did he go to Denver? You know they're paying him $18 million?
Ooh.
His contract is between 18 and 20 mil.
What did Denver have to give up? Trade, why have they decided
first,
that yet?
First, pick 29, that was it, right? And then a second next year. Two picks. And so Denver doesn't have any picks anyhow. If you look at what they've invested in Russell Wilson as far as draft capital and salary and now Sean Payton, that thing better work. Because I know the new ownership group has got deep pockets and it's the Walton money, so they're not going to be hurting for it. But still, you're paying a football coach $20 million.
Man.
You're paying your quarterback a lot. And we'll see. And I always say this about Denver or any, you got to play in that division. That's why I always thought the Houston job, which I know the Texans are thrilled to have D'Amico Ryans coming in, that division, I mean, Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. If Patrick Mahomes is healthy, they typically are playing in the Super Bowl, or at least in the AFC Championship game. That's the team you got to beat. Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos are trying to beat them. But the Bronco fan would say, wait a second, we dang near beat the Chiefs this year. We're close. We got the right coach now. He'll get our quarterback in line. We'll get healthy, and we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. So there's some NFL news here this offseason. Watch for the Derek Carr news. Will he get cut? Will someone bite? Because someone might trade for him just so that, because once he hits the open market,
sure,
he's got, you know, you have to outbid somebody to get him.
I'd take a chance if I was the J-E-T-E Jets. I'd take that chance.
Well, and if you watch the Jets this year, if they get average quarterback play, they're a pretty good team.
Yes.
And they didn't, remember they had Breece Hall, the rookie running back from Iowa State, get hurt.
He'll be back.
Garrett Wilson's an all-rookie player. Their O-line is going to be healthier next year, and their defense is already, I mean, I don't know if you watch a lot of New York Jets football, but that's a top five defense.
Yes, they do.
And you get average quarterback play there. They're a real contender with Buffalo, with Miami, with New England in that division. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to end up in New York.
Ooh, that's, it would almost be too much like Brett Favre, right?
Yeah.
Too Brett Favre-like to go from Green Bay to the Jets.
Cold-ass Green Bay.
And then I'll be in Minnesota in a few years.
Cold. Well, it is New York City.
Better not end up there.
By the way, it is New York City. That's a pretty big market. Pretty big. Now, Devontae Adams wants him in Vegas, so we'll follow that. Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, the days of our quarterback lies is back and better than ever. It's B&E on the Horn. You know what else is back and better than ever for the first time in a few days? The Blitz. Because we had no phones last week, we had no Blitz, so it's time to let
no
it loose.
Blitz at all? None. Really? None?
We didn't have Blitz. Should have seen. We were piecing this show together with duct tape, or no, Gorilla tape.
Wow.
Baling wire and diesel fuel. That's how we had this show on the air last week. But no, Blitz is back. Loaded up, 447-3776, B&E on the Horn.
Where you get that from? Did someone tell you that? Did someone tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious Gossip is brought to you by the Cold Bud Lights. Okay, some great Bud Lights over the weekend, watching Texas Hoops, watching the Grammys last night, whatever you're doing, and certainly tonight for Big Monday Hoops from Fog Allen Fieldhouse. Craig Way will be coming up live on Light the Tower from the Fog from Kansas, where Texas will play the Jayhawks tonight. Make sure you got those ice-cold Bud Lights ready to go. Safe, be safe and smart with them, but they're the official domestic beer partner of your Texas Longhorns, of the Texas X's, and of the Texas OU gang.
I've got to let Craig Way know that he is invited to my new fall school.
Fall camp.
Tua will be.
I didn't know he fell three times in the ice.
Three.
I knew he did once.
Three.
I talked to him on before he left for West Virginia, and he had.
Didn't there come a time when you just start crawling?
I think that was Tuesday that he drove in here, and he said.
Three
was,
times he went down. Then on the way out, he almost went down a fourth.
Golly.
Getting out of here.
We'll hear Craig coming up. Hey, congratulations to the great Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson, who won last night Best Country Album. Beat the likes of the youngsters, Miranda Lambert and Luke Combs and all of that ilk. Willie Nelson is the winner. Congratulations. Almost 90 years old. He gets that win. He wasn't there to accept his award, but he did win it. Also, big nights for Beyonce, Kendrick Lamar. He won Best Rap Album. Also, how about Wet Leg? Wet Leg, that sounds like something you'd go to the doctor for.
Sure.
But they're a band out of the UK. They're two ladies. They went to. They won Best Alternative Music Album. How about Brandi Carlile? She's tremendous. She won a big Grammy last night. Disappointed our friends at our local band Spoon from Austin, Texas. They were up for Best Rock Album. That went to Ozzy Osbourne at 73 years old. Bonnie Raitt also won one for her song, A Song of the Year, which is really cool. Harry Styles had a big night. Everybody loves Harry Styles. Harry Styles. Harry Hunk Styles.
I don't like those tattoos he's got. That whole new style of like just having individual
Dude,
little tattoos.
And when
on
he performed, of course, his big hit. And, listen.
Did Lizzo perform her big big hit.
Well, both Lizzo and Harry Styles were going with the aluminum foil color, like silver. Like, and Lizzo was looked like she
looked like a baked potato.
But my man Harry Styles, good looking guy, but he shows up to do his performance and he's wearing what appears to be like a dress, but it's like tinsel. You know when you put tinsel on your Christmas tree, that silver
tinsel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the whole thing was like tinsel. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? But yeah, Adele was there. She was looking good. She was there with her boyfriend, who is
LeBron's
agent. Yeah,
she looks like a completely different person.
Yeah, she's
she lost a lot of weight
and got some rearranging going on.
Oh, she got some rearranging going on. Hey,
she can still sing it though.
Yeah, she can
still deliver.
Absolutely.
And Beyonce was there with all her curves too, all her curves. All right, so that's some salacious gossip on the Grammys. Congratulations to Willie Nelson. See, we also shot down that spy balloon over the weekend.
Down goes the balloon.
Over South Carolina. See you later. Then that will lead to everything's political now. Why did we wait so long? What happened? How long would this been going on?
Oh, we can't do this, but now it's down. Why did we do that? Why did we do it?
Yeah, there we go. You know, by the way, surprising artists that have never won a Grammy. Might surprise you here. Miley Cyrus never. The Beach Boys. The Beach Boys never won a Grammy. That would really surprise most people.
That would surprise me.
That
would really surprise Nickelback.
How did Guns N' Roses never win a Grammy? They didn't win Best Rock Album when they put out Appetite for Destruction. Are you kidding me? You know who else did? Not only has Def Leppard never won a Grammy, they never had a nomination. Not one.
Supremes never won a Grammy?
Nope. The Who. The Who never won a Grammy.
Nothing for Foreigner?
Nothing. Tupac never won a Grammy. Jimi Hendrix never won a Grammy. So, the fact that Beyonce is now the most decorated Grammy recipient of all time, she's won more than anybody, pretty high cotton there. Let's get to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
You know who would have won many more Grammys, E, if it wasn't for your guy, Bobby Brown, don't you? Whitney Houston, that's right.
All right, the best ever.
There you go, the best ever. First Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, I like to say real Texans of genius. Nick Saban ain't going nowhere. They're just getting started. But Ozzy Osbourne, Shania Twain, and Willie Nelson, combined age 407. And I'm not surprised Miley Cyrus ain't won a Grammy. She ain't got no talent.
Dolly's never won one, huh? Next Blitzer, you're up.
I could see Lizzo and Brad Kilmer being the new power couple in Houston. What do you say?
Oh, gosh.
Brad Kilmer down in Houston.
Very nice. Well done, Sal. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky.
What's up?
Yeah, I heard Chris Beard was applying for City of Austin. He's going to figure out this power grid or not.
It's not the grid. It's the power lines.
It's the lines. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Digger, what did you do with Snoop's body? We're trying to have a service.
Gee, Digger. Wow. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Buck.
What's up?
Since we didn't get our Blitz last week, I'd like to propose that tomorrow we do an hour of just the Blitz.
No. What are you, crazy?
No.
Shut it down. Let's show you what we thought about that already.
No.
They're not a chance.
You know, else won a Grammy last night? Who you like this one? Viola Davis? The actress.
Really? She sings?
No. She did she won a Grammy for Best Audiobook, Narration, or Storytelling, which makes her a member of the EGOT Club, which is a very rare club.
James Earl Jones must have a few of those, I would think.
EGOT is you won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, ooh, and a Tony. Very a select company for Viola Davis. TV Emmy.
It's very interesting.
Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. I'll let you know some others that have
done. I need to know what she won the Tony for. That's what I need to know.
A play.
Some play, huh?
Some Broadway play.
Yeah.
Not sure which, but she joins. The last person to do that 2021 was Jennifer Hudson.
Okay.
So John.